Brian, tell me about this 3D elevation models of Alaska maps that your agency has released.
Sure, Levon, I'd be happy to. The maps are, as you mentioned, 3D elevation models, digital elevation models. And we have just released a little over two-thirds of the state of Alaska, and we will have an update available next month that will bring that total up to about 85% of the state. These are maps that were derived from commercial satellite imagery from the Digital Globe Company, and they are stereo maps, which means that the satellites, which circumnavigate the polar regions every hour, took two images of the same location, less than a minute apart, and that allows the production team to create the digital elevation model through an algorithm called SETSIM that was developed by one of our academic partners, some folks at Ohio State University. And then the production was managed by our partners, funded by the National Science Foundation. I should say all our partners for this were funded by the National Science Foundation, out of their Polar Geospatial Center at the University of Minnesota, and using a supercomputer called Blue Waters, located at the University of Illinois. The digital elevation model is a very common product that NGA produces for its customers, primarily in the defense realm. But for this project, we were allowed to produce or assist the National Science Foundation in producing a very similar product using the commercial imagery and make it available to the public, both domestic and international public, because it was deemed to be a valuable tool for folks in the Arctic who President Obama was interested in helping under several of his environmental executive orders. The most recent one that generated this project was his executive order on enhancing federal activities in the Arctic.
Now, I don't know much about maps, but what I look when I look at the images that you have released, these are quite striking, colorful images. How are different, these maps from, the topographic maps that most people are used to seeing?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, as far as scale goes, and resolution, that's the most interesting thing here. Alaska is a very large area, the Arctic, even larger, very difficult to map through traditional means. Currently, traditional means usually involve flying aerial reconnaissance at a low altitude. As you know, the infrastructure in the Arctic is not suitable for flying planes of the overall areas. The weather in the Arctic is also a challenge. In the past, only portions of the Arctic were mapped with digital elevation models from airplanes. This project, of course, aims to be for the entire Arctic region above 60 degrees latitude north, and also include the Alaskan Peninsula, the Peninsula of Kamchatka, and southern Greenland and all of Iceland as well. The resolution is right now there are two layers in the maps. There is a 2 meter strip resolution, and then there's a 5 meter mosaic resolution. So what that means is, you're able to they're much clearer than previous images using other sensors. You're able to distinguish objects and elevations that are at least 2 meters or 5 meters in size or 2 meters and 5 meters apart from one another, and they're 3D, which means I believe overall the project has a relative vertical accuracy of about 4 meters. At some points they're much more accurate. But we're able to measure the height or elevation of natural and man-made objects, as well as the vertical resolution.
I believe on one of the pictures you can actually see the planes parked at the Anchorage International Airport.
That is correct, and that product or image is it was not processed specifically to do that. All the images that we will, all the products I should say that we will generate over the Arctic will have similar resolution and accuracy.
So let's talk about that. You mentioned that at some future point you will expand and release more maps of other parts of the Arctic. So tell me about that project. When do you think this will happen, and what areas will come in first?
Yes, sir. So we've been collecting this stereo imagery on behalf of the United States government now for 6 years. So the project will actually, in many places in the polar regions, and it already does in some of the Alaskan products, have a time sequence capability to monitor change over time. The project was specifically announced in coordination with President Obama's trip north of the Arctic Circle last September. And it was designed to help support the Arctic Council, which beginning last year when we formulated the project, the chair was handed over from Canada to the United States. And the project will continue for at least one, if not two more years. I think the chair moves to the nation of Finland next spring. We started with Alaska. In part because there have been requirements to produce products over Alaska of this type that have never been fulfilled, and it made sense to do that with President Obama's trip. He announced the project while he was visiting the little town of Kotzebue, north of the Arctic Circle. But as I mentioned, it is a circumpolar project. So next month, the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy is sponsoring an intra-ministerial science summit on the Arctic. So science ministers from all Arctic and Arctic-related nations will be gathering in Washington, D.C., and we will be producing a second round of products that will include areas outside of Alaska. And I believe as far as Canada goes, you'll see some of the larger Queen Elizabeth Islands in that release. And then you will see a series of releases every couple of months until we have managed to circumnavigate the entire North Pole as well. Our plan is to produce, collect and produce with the National Science Foundation and the University of Minnesota over the next 1 year, we expect to have the first iteration of the entire polar region completed, with up to another year to make additions and revisit areas.
Are you collaborating with other like agencies in some of the other circumpolar countries on this project?
We have. We had a meeting with representatives from several of the nations back in March. And solicited their inputs and inquiries on the project. I know that we have helped the nation of Iceland out, and they plan to return some of the information they have, such as ground control data and so forth. They're a smaller nation, so it's easier for them to map their country. So there has been some international cooperation. There's been at least one meeting in Minnesota. I believe there was another one in Canada back in September, October of last year.
Any reticence on the part of, this Arctic countries? I would imagine there is some sensitive infrastructure of military nature or security nature that these countries have there. Any objections to this kind of detailed mapping?
Well, we haven't heard anything of that nature. Most of the organizations we met with from other countries, I believe, were civil organizations. Also, while the resolution sounds really really fine at 2 meters and 5 meters. The reality is that you can purchase commercial imagery over the entire Earth now at a third of a meter, or more commonly a half meter. While that imagery isn't technically, you know, made available to the public, we have not heard any reticence on the part of any of our fellow polar nations about this this information, these products being made available to the public.
Now, can you give me some practical examples of how people in various disciplines will be able to use these maps?
I can give you a few. I've spent quite a bit of time talking to polar scientists, but I am not one myself. There's a lot of change in the Arctic, and that's one of the reasons why President Obama visited Alaska last year, to highlight something that we call climate resiliency. So because of all the change going on up there, being caused by climate change or fluctuations in the climate, the shorelines, the glaciers, the sea levels, those items are those forms are changing rapidly. They say that the Arctic is probably experiencing the most change of any place on Earth. So a lot of that change is being caused by changes in the state and volumes of water and ice. I have seen examples of science using these products over time to measure water flow under the ice, to measure the surface of a glacier fluctuating vertically during the course of a season. That's some of the most advanced examples I've seen. Obviously, you can use it to measure the total vertical and horizontal loss of ice and then calculate the amount of water that has flowed through the watershed into the sea. That gets you to looking at projecting sea level rise. The town of Kotzebue and other towns in the Arctic are often located right on the coast. Often there is very little elevation. So sea level rise is a major concern, and that factors into what we call climate resiliency. So these products would make not only excellent scientific sources for scientific discovery and exploration, but they're also practical for planning purposes for the folks living in the Arctic, folks looking in developing the Arctic. And I think you'll find that there have even been some examples as the ice changes, as the soil thaws, we've seen examples of erosion and soil giving way in the Arctic as well. And so these products will capture some of that if there's been change over the last couple of years in those areas.
You talked about change, and for example, in Alaska, the town of Shishmaref is planning to move to the mainland because of coastal erosion. How often are you going to be updating these maps? Because it looks like some of the areas might change quite drastically in the next few years.
Right. The plan is to provide updates and to continue to collect the stereo imagery on behalf of the United States government for 1 to 2 more years. We will reproduce areas of interest and add those to the database during that time frame. Most of the Arctic has been collected over the last 6 years multiple times. We still have some areas to go, some difficult, challenging areas due to cloud cover, but we are optimistic if we haven't collected them already this season, which runs roughly from March to September, we will collect them next season. And most of the areas that you'll see delivered to our portal or our website have already been collected, and they're just waiting their cue in the production chain.